With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to today's show. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and this is the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I know the offseason just began, but come on, fantasy football is just too fun to wait 6 months to talk about. So today I'll have Pat Daugherty on to take a super early look at the expert consensus rankings for August fantasy football drafts. Hey Pat, how's it going?
It's going well, and yeah, I mean, you know, we're all in the fantasy football industry, but I know some people... Basically, this is going to be too long of a story. I told someone the other day, like, I'm kind of ready to do a draft. And they were like, oh, are you serious? Like,
I was ready to do a draft when the playoffs started, man. Yeah,
I'm with you. They were like, I need a break. And I was like, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind doing a draft right now. And I think maybe something's wrong with us. That's the moral of that story.
Yeah, everyone has weird things about them. But I feel like loving fantasy football this much is like extra weird. It's like the kind of thing that you don't tell your wife's friends about. But all the wives' husbands you tell them about, and they think you're so cool.
Like,
they,
oh, that's absolutely 100% true, actually.
Well, anyways, guys, Pat is from Roto World, and he can be found on Twitter at RotoPat. So, Pat, this Super Bowl, man, it was incredible. And everyone can say whatever they want about 2016. The sports were incredible, though. This was probably the best year for sports I can remember in my lifetime. Cubs break the century-long curse coming back from 3-1 in the series. And then that amazing Game 7. I'm a Cardinals fan, but look. That Cubs game, it was phenomenal. It's a great story. Cavs come back from down 3-1 against the best NBA team ever. And I'm sure producer Clinton is over there not very happy that I mentioned that. He's a big Warriors fan. Then there was the big comeback in the NCAA football championship. The NCAA basketball championship was won on a buzzer beater. Helped me beat hundreds of people in my bracket contest, by the way. And now we get by far the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history, 25 points. And before then, it was just 10 points. Someone rooting for the Pats, it was a blast. I mean, I'm sure those Falcons fans, I feel really bad for them. And for those of you haters out there, especially Clinton, Dan Marino's still my number one all-time quarterback. So you guys just, you know, take that.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I saw someone the other day say sports definitely gave us more than we deserved in 2016. And everything you mentioned, and, you know, it was an Olympic year, the Euro soccer tournament. So sports will always be there for us.
Okay, so what we're going to do today, Pat, I've got our expert consensus rankings open. If you're following along at home and want to see what we're talking about, just go to fantasypros.com, click NFL at the top, then 2017 rankings right below that. So, Pat, let's start right here at the top. And our first tier has Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, then two wide receivers, Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. Do you agree with the rankings right now that Bell's the top overall choice for next year?
It's really tough. I mean, how do you go against David Johnson? It's pick your poison type of thing. There's no real right answer, but I would probably put David Johnson at number one overall. I mean, he was the first guy, I think, since LeSean McCoy in 2011 to score 20 touchdowns. Only the second guy since 2008 to score 20 touchdowns. And I mean, he's so young. He got hurt in week 17, but he, you know, unlike Le'Veon Bell, he doesn't have an injury history. He doesn't have a suspension history.
Yeah.
You can make plenty of arguments in favor for Le'Veon Bell in this situation too. There's no wrong answer, but if I was doing a draft today, I would probably take David Johnson number one overall.
I'd take Johnson unless we're talking about PPR. Then I'm definitely taking Le'Veon Bell. I think David Johnson's touchdowns are going to regress quite a bit, and Bell's are probably going to tick up, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 5. But with that being said, everything you said is spot on with the injury history. David Johnson's younger. He just seems like a more durable back the way that he's built, the way that he runs. So I would trust David Johnson right now. I wouldn't mind getting Zeke either at number three, but really, no, if you don't have one of those top three picks, I think you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, last year was kind of chaos at the top, where even a non-PPR, you know, you saw receivers go number one quite often. You know, 2 years ago, it was like absolute running back carnage at the top. So then this year, you know, the solution was, you know, we're going to get in on Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham in the top three. But, I mean, I think you're going to see, no matter the format, you're going to see very few drafts in the summer 2017 where Bell, Johnson, and Zeke aren't some combination of the top three picks. So it's unlike most years, it's not going to be a very mysterious year at the top.
You know, I'm not super opposed to getting Antonio Brown even over Ezekiel Elliott just because he's been so good. What he's done, it's among the best wide receivers in the history of the NFL. And just because he had a down year with the touchdowns, Ben Roethlisberger being out, I think he's going to go overlooked a little bit. He's a really great buy there at number four. And if you have an auction draft, man, I would spend a ton of money on him. I think he's great still.
I mean, AB came a little bit down, yeah, from like absurd 2014, 2015 highs. But yeah, I mean, he didn't exactly, it's not like Antonio Brown looked like a different player in 2016. He was exactly. Still the same elite guy. And yeah, I mean, I'd feel very comfortable with him in the top five or six. I mean, yeah, even like you said, maybe even number three. So yeah, I'm definitely not off Antonio Brown.
So among those top five receivers, you got Brown, Beckham, Jones, Evans, and AJ Green. Is Brown definitely your number one, or would you consider someone else up there?
I mean, I was going to say biased. I don't think it's the right word, but I'm very biased in favor of Odell Beckham, where I'm just like such an Odell lover. And I think aside from Rob Gronkowski, he's probably the best touchdown scorer in the NFL as a pass catcher. And I mean, he kind of had like a slightly weird 2016, but the end of the year, his numbers were just as dominant. And I mean, he's just been so amazing his first 3 years in the league, and he's still so young. He's just now going into his prime. And
have we even seen the best of him? I feel like there's another level that we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, I honestly think there might be, and especially, you know, if he gets his, I don't know if there's a problem or not, actually, but if he gets, you know, his emotions more under control, plays more within himself. And yeah, I agree that I don't think we've seen Odell Beckham's best season yet, which is a very, very scary thought. So I wouldn't be surprised if in drafts I was taking Odell Beckham ahead of Antonio Brown. I'm not saying that's the right answer, but I am a Odell Beckham fan.
I think a lot of people are with you. It's pretty close. It's 4.2 for the average for Brown and 4.9 for Beckham. I'm kind of on the fence. Like, the upside for Beckham's extraordinary. It really is better than even Antonio Brown, but the soft tissue issues he's had early in his career concerns me, and for that reason, I'm taking Antonio Brown above him right now. And I would even take Julio Jones and maybe AJ Green. I like AJ Green more than Mike Evans, but I think AJ Green, I mentioned this last podcast, I think is the number one most talented wide receiver in football. And I know he's got Dalton throwing the ball. I know he has some injury history, but I just feel like he's so dominant that, you know, I would love to spend a middle first round pick on him.
Yeah, Green's amazing. He seems like every season he kind of has like a kind of an unexplained lull, and he's never quite, I mean, this is going to sound absurd in the context of his career numbers, but I feel like he's never quite put it all together where he's had, you know, the 16, you know, just one amazing game after another. I mean, his numbers are always there, but I don't think he's clearly a top five receiver, but I don't think I would put him quite in the AB Beckham or even Julio tier. But Julio, you know, there's always going to be kind of the injury issues. He's got the history of foot issues, and you know, now he's got another foot toe issue that could require surgery. So to me, that's what that prevents me kind of from putting Julio in the, even though when Julio's healthy, he's every bit Antonio and Odell's equal. But Julio's...
Ryan just spreads the ball around so much. And it's not like Eli Manning, he's just forcing the ball to Odell Beckham.
Yeah, and so Julio, to me, is on par with those guys, but it's got the injury history is a tiebreaker for me there, and I just don't think AJ Green is quite, at least in fantasy, has ever quite been on their level.
Now, moving on to this next tier, tier three, and I'm going to add in Todd Gurley to this list, too. Not that he's really in tier three because he was so horrible, but if LA fixes their offensive line, I expect them to. They're probably going to have a better quarterback situation this year as Goff matures a little bit. There's four really intriguing running backs here. You got Jordan Howard and Jay Ajayi, who just kind of came out of nowhere And right now they're 10 and 11 in ECR. Then you have Melvin Gordon at 17, who was really touchdown driven. He's going to have Danny Woodhead and Keenan Allen coming back. So I really don't like Melvin Gordon. I'd be more inclined to take a shot on Todd Gurley. How do you feel about these four?
That's interesting. I don't know where I'd fall on Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon, because Danny Woodhead, you know, he is a free agent and he's missed two of the past three seasons with injuries, and not the entire season, but I think he appeared in like one game in 2014 and what, two or three last year. So Melvin Gordon could actually end up having that backfield to himself, and he's got an injury history himself, but I don't know. Melvin Gordon might not be as much of a flash in the pan as some people might think. I mean, he is a former first rounder, obviously.
Good point.
I think
he's a running back that's saying a lot.
Yeah, and I think he had the second, not that this has any bearing on it whatsoever, but he's a former first round pick, and I think he had the second highest yards per carry in NCAA history. So it's not like he was some, you know, random schlub kind of coming onto the scene last year. He had a pedigree. And so if Danny Woodhead's Chargers future uncertain, like, Melvin Gordon could maybe end up being kind of a bit of a bargain in RB9, but it's an intriguing part of the board. I mean, Jordan Howard and Jay Ajayi, to me, have definitely earned top 10 running back status. Maybe not quite positive about RB5 and RB6, but I can't really complain about those guys being in the top 8, and I think maybe Melvin Gordon actually deserves to be in the top 8.
You know, that's you're kind of selling me there. I mean, it's so early that we can start to form our opinions by talking to other people and seeing what they have to say. And Melvin Gordon was the number 4 running back last season. And it's not like he's going to get any worse, right? I mean, he's young. He's coming into the prime of his career. He's going to have those extra pieces around him. And so maybe they won't put as much attention on him. And we know he's great in the red zone. I mean, his first year, he got 0 touchdowns. But he proved this year that he can put
He corrected in 2016, the 0 touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation. Yeah. I mean, and he was kind of a 3-down dynamo for a while. He had like a lot of 150-yard from scrimmage games. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the Melvin Gordon train here.
Howard was just phenomenal when he took over the job. He didn't start for the first 4 weeks, and he still finished with 1,300 yards. I mean, this is a superstar right here, and you're getting him at number 10. Now, I know there's the C.J. Anderson stigma around him, like, oh, is he just going to completely flop on us if we take him in the first round? Yeah, he might, but he also might end up being the number 1 running back, right?
Yeah, I mean, he is a little different than C.J. Anderson because he didn't really have – Jordan Howard had a few little health hiccups last year, but he appeared in 15 games, and he's already accomplished a lot more than C.J. Anderson kind of ever did. I mean, C.J. Anderson said C.J. Anderson's two nice little stretches in his career, but he's never put it together for as long of a period as Jordan Howard did last year. And, I mean, he averaged over 5 yards per carry, well over 1,200, 1,300 yards. And I mean, he was the real deal and caught more passes than maybe I was kind of expecting. So I think Jordan Howard, you know, it's kind of like when a guy only has 1 year of film or whatever, or 1 year kind of on the fantasy radar, sometimes it's kind of tough to go all in. But I mean, that was the case with David Johnson last year. And then he came here and was the number 1 running back. So you can't shy away from those kind of guys.
Good
in
point.
Fantasy. Yeah. And I think Jordan Howard, I think, is definitely earning his early rank.
In regards to Ajayi, I mean, he was just so good until that offensive line got banged up, and then he was absolutely nothing. So I would imagine the Dolphins' offensive line is going to be healthy going into next fall. And if it is, maybe he goes back to rushing for, what, 140, 160 yards every once in a while?
Yeah, I mean, Jay Ajayi could go completely bonkers next year. And, I mean, he was – it's an animal when their offensive line is healthy. I mean, it stands to reason they should have improved offensive line health this year. And he's another guy where, I mean, Jay Ajayi, even though he's only – I can't remember if it was a 3rd or 4th round pick, but it was a day 2 or day 3 pick. But he was, despite being a day 2 or 3 pick, he was really hyped coming out of Boise State. You know, he was a guy that fantasy people kind of honed in on immediately. And, you know, he didn't do anything as much as a rookie, but then like his sophomore explosion then didn't really come out of nowhere because he was a guy who had been on the radar for a while. So he's another guy. I don't think he's like a flash in the pan. And I mean, he had 3 200-yard games in one season. I mean, you've got some real upside. And yeah, I think he's another guy. Jay Ajayi completely deserves his lofty early rank.
I'll tell you what, 10-team league, I was already talking about how I would love to have picks 1 through 3. Otherwise, you're screwed, basically. I would love to have pick 10 and just know I'm going to be able to get Howard and Ajayi. I mean, we could be talking about the number 1 and number 2 wide running backs, even above David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. They're that good. If they play a full season, I wouldn't be surprised if either of them gets 1,800 yards.
You mean I wouldn't? Yeah, it's not like their most.
I'm not going to bank on that, but
it's not their most likely outcome. But I agree that it's completely within their range of range of possible outcomes.
All right, let's move on to tier four here. Can you give me one player out of tier four that you really like, or at least that you like more than the other guys?
Let's see here. Who catches my eye here in tier four? I might say Michael Thomas. He's going as the wide receiver 10 right now, or I mean, he's ranked as the wide receiver 10 right now, and I think it's completely justified. He finished as the wide receiver 9 as a rookie in an offense that was kind of a three-headed monster receiver, but he kind of like took command. Brandon Cooks had one or two really big games down the stretch, but Michael Thomas kind of took command of the...
I have no concerns about Michael Thomas, not at all. And you can't really say that about anybody else on this list.
Yeah, he took control of that receiver core in the second half of the season. And basically, he's another guy. He completely lived up to kind of all the preseason hype. He was really hyped for a real life second round pick, but he lived up to the expectations where he lived up to like his scouting profile, and he's ranked as wide receiver 10 right now. I think that's completely justified.
Do you think Sammy Watkins is going too high there? I mean, I look at him and I'm just so intrigued. He's the most efficient wide receiver in football. At least he was 2 years ago, and he's gotten better since then. But he just had another surgery. Can't seem to stay on the field. But his upside is just extreme, right? I mean, we could be talking about him going in the first round this time next year. I love Sammy Watkins, but it makes me nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely pretty high, wide receiver 13 for someone with his injury history and, you know, new coaching staff, potentially new quarterback, but he's got that insane upside. And it's part of the board where it's kind of the question part of the board, a receiver, because you have Keenan Allen, you have Alshon Jeffrey, you have Allen Robinson, who was one of the biggest busts in fantasy last year. So in the context of the part he's at on the board, I mean, it is high, but I think it's justifiable.
Now, looking at tier five, there's two guys that I want on every single one of my teams. Keenan Allen, who, look, it was kind of a fluke injury last year. He's going to come back, and he might lead the league in targets. He's probably going to surpass Mike Evans because Phillip Rivers throws the ball to him so much. And then Robert Kelly, man, I watch him on tape, and he looks just like Marshawn Lynch to me. He's running through everybody. You can't knock this guy down, and I think they're going to shore up their offensive line this year in Washington, and I just love Robert Kelly. I would love to get both those guys. I also like Allen Robinson at 31.
It's interesting. I'm not sure how much I'm on the same page on Keenan and Robert Kelly or not, because Keenan's got, you know, it's kind of a fluke injury, but he's got a legit injury history. I'll put it that way.
You're right. You're right. Where
it's not just one injury. He's got a, even coming out of college, you know, he was kind of labeled an injury concern. So he's got a legit injury history. And you also have Tyrell Williams emerging as... Tyrell Williams, you know, looked like down the stretch where he kind of had injury issues of his own that he could be like a legit number one receiver. So maybe he'll soak up more targets than, I mean, on paper, Keenan Allen should definitely be a target monster. But I would say you can't write off Tyrell Williams. You can't write off Hunter Henry taking a bigger target share there. So
Hunter Henry, baby. Yes.
Yeah, so Keenan, I feel like, might be properly ranked as the wide receiver 14. And Kelly, you know, it's interesting because, yeah, he sometimes on film, you know, yeah, he's just like dragging people, like blowing through tackles. But he's not quite the athlete Marshawn Lynch is. He is kind of a total zero in the passing game. And even in standard leagues.
That's a good point.
Yeah, even in standard leagues, that kind of hurts your floor and your ceiling if you're never going to catch any passes. So, Kelly, to me, RB15 almost seemed a little high for me, to be honest, for Robert Kelly. Like, I think I would definitely take Spencer Ware over Robert Kelly. But, you know, he's in the appropriate part of the board. But, yeah, I don't think he's, like, undervalued or anything like that.
I think we kind of have different philosophies about how we build our roster. I'm assuming, at least, because, I don't know, I'm a little bit wild with going for upside in the first, you know, three or four rounds. I really want to get a superstar or two on my team. And, you know, if you're drafting later, it's hard to get those superstars. It's hard to get one of those guys that's not in the top four. So that's why I like the big names like Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen, who could end up being, you know, wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, something like that. Robert Kelly, who I think could really break out onto the scene like Jordan Howard did last year. And the reason that I like to go for those high upside guys is because in a lot of the leagues I play in, if I'm playing an expert league, I'd have to change my strategy. But a lot of the leagues I play in, right, I can just pick up all these guys, all these running backs by building all this depth. And then I've got, you know, 4 or 5 starting running backs. And so what if Robert Kelly is a big turd? You know, I've got another guy that I can just put in place of him.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't mind. It's just like a lot of times those guys, I feel like all three of these guys are candidates to maybe end up having more value kind of priced in. If this was their actual price, I feel like there may be not quite enough risk priced in where I'm not where it's like making me be super aggressive about targeting them early. But yeah, I'm not like, it's not like I definitely seek upside. I probably do it more with younger players than a guy like Keenan Allen. Not that he's old, but who's been in the year like three or four league years and already had all these injuries. But it's not like I disagree with targeting these really high upside guys, because you're right, they're all have really high ceilings.
All right, let's move on to Tier 6, and Tier 6 is where it gets a lot bigger. There's several names I really like in here, nowhere near as much as I like Robert Kelly and Sammy Watkins, Keenan Allen, those kind of guys. But, you know, I've got my eye on Stephon Diggs at 52, man. He is really intriguing. And I know that he's been a bummer for several games in his career. He's also had some injury issues, but at 52, man, I'm just salivating over here.
It's interesting. He's another guy. He's going to be a really fascinating guy, because someone I kind of felt was undervalued is Adam Thielen, who I think is right now is ranked as the wide receiver 52.
Yeah.
And he had almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. And
he didn't even play the full year.
Yeah, he went over 85 yards in 3 of his final 5 games. I mean, had a 200-yard game. And so he's the guy I think could be – maybe people right now are kind of sleeping on. I think he's going to be a pretty big factor in that offense next year. And so it can maybe kind of cut into – you know, Stephon Diggs' biggest selling point has always been like a massive target share. But yeah, Kyle Rudolph finally had not a complete season, but by his standards, his most complete season last year. And you had Adam Thielen really come on late. And, you know, even a guy like Laquon Treadwell, who did nothing last year, could be reasonably expected to have a bigger role this year. So yeah, for like the third or fourth straight guy, I'm kind of like raining on your parade with the dude.
No, that's great.
I feel like Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver 26, might even be a little high to me. But, you know, this is why this stuff is great, because this time of year, everyone can have a completely different outlook, and apparently we do so far on these guys.
Come August, I'll probably be like telling people not to get Stephon Diggs, and you'll be drafting him in every single
league. Yeah, exactly.
That's how
exactly
it works. Like,
exactly.
You know, there's so much information out there for us to digest, and that's why we're talking about it now, so that everyone can start to bounce ideas off one another, and the people listening can share that with their friends, and you know, they can shoot them down. And
absolutely, that's the fun.
It's like I've heard it explained that fantasy football is like a book club for men. You know, these women go all weird with their book clubs. Like, I don't get it. I mean, I'm sure there's some listeners who are in book clubs, so sorry. But it's weird to me, right? But, you know, we've got this stuff to talk about, and we don't have to wait until fantasy football season. Like, let's talk about it all summer.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get the ball rolling. That's what we're doing. We're getting the ball rolling early.
So is there someone in this tier that you love?
We're looking tier 6 here?
Yeah, tier 6.
I don't know. This is the kind of part of the board where I would struggle. Like this part of the board, everyone always seems like properly priced to me. But
yeah,
I mean, Michael Crabtree will probably outperform wide receiver. I feel like a guy I wouldn't usually want to throw my lot in, but Davante Adams was, I think, the wide receiver 7 this year, and he's ranked as the wide receiver 20.
Oh, man, he's so good. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. I like Davante Adams.
He's still so young, and you know, he kind of proved that. 2015, you know, he was one of the worst players in the NFL, but 2016, he proved it was mostly because he was playing hurt, and he's definitely still a young player with upside, and, you know, Jordy Nelson's not getting any younger. Randall Cobb seems to have really plateaued, so Davante Adams is a wide receiver 20. If I could make that happen in a heartbeat.
You mentioned Crabtree. Like, why is he ranked so much lower than Amari Cooper? I know Cooper was drafted really high. So was Crabtree, right? And Crabtree's been really good. Cooper's had a chance to prove himself. And Crabtree's the number one over there. There is no way I'm drafting Cooper. And I like Crabtree more than him.
It's interesting. I mean, I kind of understand it because, Cooper, you can still talk yourself into. There's a lot of untapped upside there that we haven't seen yet. Whereas Crabtree, you can probably reasonably assume you have a good idea of his ceiling. And it's not a bad ceiling, but there's no longer any theoretical untapped potential Michael Crabtree. Like, yeah,
you're right.
He is what he's going to be at this point. Whereas Amari Cooper, it was a very disappointing season, but for as disappointing as it was, you can still talk yourself into, you know, this guy could explode, have 1,500 yards this season. So I would say that explains the rankings discrepancy there.
This tier is also where we start with the tight ends. We've got Reed. We had Gronkowski a little bit earlier. Are those actually the top two tight ends, or do you like Kelce more?
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, it's Andy Reid and Jeremy Maclin was hurt for a lot of the year. But, you know, Kelce still had a lot of big games after Jeremy Maclin came back, had a lot of big games even after Tyreek Hill became a factor. So I wouldn't say Travis Kelce. I probably wouldn't rank him as the tight end one. I probably would put Gronk and Reid number one and two right now. I think that's probably correct. But, I mean, Travis Kelce is obviously proven without a doubt that he is the tight end one, capability and like that potential, and he could easily finish as the tight end one next season. So if you were in ranked Travis Kelce as the tight end one, I wouldn't, you know, especially considering Gronk's injury history,
and
Jordan Reed. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I like, that's why I like Kelce, is because the injury history is just not really there for him.
Yeah, so there's,
I feel like he's safe, and there's really no such thing as a safe tight end besides Kelce. And I think Hunter Henry this year is just going to be a superstar. So I love Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Kelce did have, I can't remember, he did have a big injury a few years ago, right? Did he miss his entire rookie season? I can't remember. But anyways, yeah, he's appeared in like 16 games, three straight years, and definitely proven he can stay healthy at the NFL level. And if you're going to rank him as the number one tight end, I couldn't really argue with you.
Hey, Clinton's sitting here. He's the producer for the show. He's sitting here typing as we're talking about tight ends. He loves Greg Olsen at number 50. And I don't know how you can argue with Greg Olsen. I mean, he's the number one tight end for one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I know Newton had some accuracy issues, but Olsen was getting so many looks, and he's been putting it together for a lot of years.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, he had a slow finish to the season, but yeah, he's had basically three straight career years, three straight 1,000-yard seasons, which is extremely rare for a tight end. So yeah, if you're getting Greg Olsen at number 50, even, you know, in his advancing age or whatever, I would be very happy about that.
Now, we've also got the quarterbacks, as I mentioned here. Aaron Rodgers, number one. Andrew Luck, number two, which I'm not so sure about. Tom Brady at three and Drew Brees at four. Is that the order you would put them in, or are you one of these guys who just doesn't draft a quarterback early?
I mean, it depends on the context, obviously. When I'm in my friend's leagues, you got to go a little earlier, or you'll get stuck playing patty cake kind of with Eli Manning and Andy Dalton. But, in the experts leagues or whatever, which, I don't like calling myself an expert, but I'm in a lot of industry leagues, obviously. In those leagues, I don't know. I mean, but you can wait and wait. So in those leagues, I play the game. I wait forever on quarterback. But I would say, this is a very reasonable. I mean, it's aggressive for Andrew Luck, but I think kind of people don't really realize how good Andrew Luck's season was in 2016. And, Brady, he's the Super Bowl. I thought it was interesting. He kind of really, for the first time, noticed like kind of a lack of velocity on his passes, but he had 450 yards or whatever. So, I mean, he's still very much at the top of his game. Drew Brees was incredible last year. So I have no quibbles with the top four quarterbacks.
I'm always the guy who tends to wait on quarterbacks. But this year, I think it's going to be a lot different for me. I'm looking at the stats from last season, and Aaron Rodgers was the number one quarterback by 33 fantasy points. That's 2 points per game. And look, I know if Tom Brady had played the entire season, he would have been up there near Aaron Rodgers, but he's a lot older than Aaron Rodgers, and I just trust Rodgers a lot more. I think we can expect 2 points more per game, and at number 45, to get that kind of value above replacement, I think that's an extraordinary deal. We're used to seeing quarterbacks go somewhere between 15 and 30 as the number one quarterback, and they're talking at 45. Yeah, I'm taking him before then for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the value looks like it might be better this year, so absolutely.
All right, let's move on down to tier 7, and then we're just going to finish up by talking about, all the guys after that, some kind of sleepers that that we think are ranked way too low. So is there anyone in tier 7 that kind of stands out to you?
Jamison Crowder at wide receiver 29 is kind of interesting. If DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon both leave, Jamison Crowder probably finishes about the wide receiver 29 last year. He seems to have extreme chemistry with Kirk Cousins, so
you got that right.
Wide receiver 29 right now, Crowder doesn't strike me as a particular bargain right now. But yeah, if those guys leave, I'd be very happy. Especially because those two guys could be leaving. Jordan Reed's injury history, and Jamison Crowder's a really small guy who seems to be a very heavily targeted red zone threat. So he's the guy probably of anyone in tier 7 who strikes me as someone who could be in a real value and really outperform his ranking.
I love the three guys there at the bottom. Jamaal Charles, upside. He's the all-time NFL leader in yards per carry. He's still young enough that I think he can make a difference. Now, he's probably not going to be in Kansas City, but wherever he ends up, I have no reason to believe that he's not going to dominate if he can stay healthy and stay on the field. 67 for a guy who can be an RB1, man, that's a great price. And then Kenneth Dixon, who everyone who listens to the show all last season knows that I love Kenneth Dixon. And if he takes over here as a workhorse, man, Kenneth Dixon is going to be really, really good. And then finally, Brandon Marshall, who, look, I know three touchdowns, 788 yards. But if you look at his career stats, every single year except for the season that he was dealing with that injury, which is what he had last year, we're talking about a 1,000-yard receiver and someone who gets 150 targets. I think we can expect the same thing next year, 150 targets, 1,000 yards. And with that, it's probably going to come you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe even double-digit touchdowns and getting that kind of upside at number 69, the wide receiver number 31. I love it.
And he's a really interesting case because he is getting older. He did just have his worst season. And it's kind of hard to know where he's going to be playing. But, yeah, I mean, he's a guy, depending on where he ends up, could be a massive bargain as the wide receiver.
It reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald from last season.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison there. And like Kenneth Dixon, all aboard the Kenneth Dixon train. I mean, he could be a special player, and he's in a great situation. Jamaal Charles, I feel like, actually might end up back with the Chiefs on like a reworked contract or something. And he's a guy where I'm really not sure if, I mean, like you said, he is literally the all-time NFL leader in yards per carry. But, you know, he's kind of 2 years in a row now wrecked by knee issues. He's on the wrong side of 30, and I feel like a team might try to kind of make him a part of a committee. I don't know if anyone's going to rely on him as like a three down foundational back anymore. So
yeah,
clearly he's got insane upside. I mean, it's Jamaal Charles, but
I don't know, even with just 15 touches for the Chiefs back then, he was always one of the top three or four running backs in the NFL. So I don't know, give him 12, 14 touches. Maybe he's still an RB1.
Yeah, I mean, he is a guy where, if he's going to go as the RB27, it's a definite like a, you know, moderate risk, very high reward pick. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on that front.
All right, sleepers here. I've already heard a lot of people talking about Amir Abdullah. And what I saw on tape, I think he can be really special, but I'm not so sure he's a sleeper. I think he's going to be one of these guys that ends up moving up ECR as the summer goes on. He gets a lot of hype. I think he'll probably be overdrafted, but he's someone I definitely have my eye on along with everyone else. There are two guys that I just absolutely love way down here. I already mentioned Hunter Henry. I think he's going to end up being the top tight end in football one of these years. Probably not next year, but where he's going right now, tight end 11. I love it. And then Rishard Matthews, who, you know, when he played 2 years ago, he had this streak of games, 8 games where he was a top 10 wide receiver. He did it again last year at the end of the season. Now that he's got the chemistry with Mariota, he's wide receiver 41. I'm taking him way before then. Who are some guys that stand out to you here, Pat?
Yeah, Rishard Matthews definitely caught my eye as someone who could be an extreme bargain at his current rank. I'm very surprised to see Kirk Cousins as the QB11. I mean, I can't remember. He had like a top 15 passing season yardage-wise all time last year. It's an offense that's going to, you know, not even if they lose those two receivers, they're not going to stop passing. He was QB5 last year, QB9 2 years ago. I'm not really sure why people still don't believe in Kirk Cousins. You know, you don't have to love his real life game necessarily, but he's a very established fantasy commodity. I see no reason for that to change next year. I would, I think Derek Carr is probably a better real life player, but I would definitely draft Kirk Cousins ahead of Derek Carr. I'd probably draft him ahead of Dak Prescott, probably draft him ahead of even Cam Newton, to be honest.
Me too.
Even Ben Roethlisberger, because Ben Roethlisberger doesn't seem capable of playing 16 games anymore.
Ben's last on my list out of all those guys. I don't trust the injury issues. I don't trust him in away games. There's no way I'm putting him on my team.
Yeah, and he's got, even with like two of the best skill players in the NFL, I mean, arguably the best receiver and best running back, they have a thin skill core, really. Behind those two guys, they don't have a third weapon right now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Kirk Cousins, to me, is a top 5 or 6 quarterback, and he really strikes me as an extreme value as the QB11.
All right, Pat, well, we're out of time here, so I just got to ask you one more question about a guy that I'm super fond of. I was so pumped about him last year. I traded for him in my work league, and then the next week he goes out for the season. Kevin White killed me, man, but this year's the year. Kevin White is going to be awesome.
I mean, he was getting a very, very surprising amount of targets before he got hurt. History has not been kind, really, to receivers who missed their entire first season, and he's kind of missed now almost his entire first two seasons. But, I mean, there's a reason he was such a high draft pick. He's got extremely high upside. And
he's some of the best athleticism in the league.
Yeah, and he'll probably almost be free. So, yeah, Kevin White, yeah, he'll probably be a great dart throw in, you know, the like 12 to 16 round range of fantasy drafts. Maybe he'll end up being more expensive than
that. Not me, man. He's my wide receiver number one. I'm building my entire team around Kevin White.
Yeah, he's going to be a very interesting guy next summer because he's going to be like one of the premier risk-reward guys where you can make a very strong case on either side.
Yeah. All right, Pat. Well, that's all the questions we have for you today. Really appreciate you coming on. It was so much fun talking to you about this. I can't wait to do my first mock draft. I'm probably going to go do it right now. We've got the draft simulator up right now, and I've been craving it, so I'm going to do it.
It sounds like a plan to me, man.
All right, Pat. Well, I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you later.
You too, guys. My pleasure.
And for those of you listening at home, we're not going to do another show for a while, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about free agency with another one of these experts. So make sure to subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss the shows when they come out over the offseason. Also, jump on over to the Fantasy Bros Baseball Podcast. Get geared up for the baseball season. I host that show, too. We're having a lot of fun talking about the rankings. Going to do some mock drafts here coming up. So take a listen to that Fantasy Bros Baseball Podcast. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.